Hallelujah. Glory. Yeah. Man, did you need that? How's everybody tonight? Snap. You are blessed and highly flavored. Warriors of the Most High, armed and dangerous. Praise God. Oh, thank you, my Lord. For your mercies are new every morning, every day. Would you grab your swords, please, and turn to 3 John. 3 John. Is everybody there? Yes. In verse 2, let's sow it. 3 John. Verse 2, what does it say? Beloved, I pray that you may what? Prosper in what? Hey, does God want you to prosper in all things? You betcha. He wants you to prosper in all things. He says, I want you to prosper in all things and be in what? Be in what? Health. That's divine health. Divine health. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to be in divine health. Just as your what? Soul prospers. So there's something that must cooperate with your prospering according to the will of God, and there must be something that you must cooperate with divine health. It says it specifically that your soul must prosper also. So your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, your imaginations. Has everybody got it? That means that your mind, your will, your emotions, and your imaginations must line up with the will of God, with the Word of God. If they don't, then prospering will be difficult. Divine health will be difficult. Is everybody with me? It says in verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the what? In the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So what has to happen is this. Your mind must line up with truth. Your emotions must line up with truth. Your imaginations must line up with truth. Your will must line up with the truth. Everything must line up with the truth. So there must be a conversion of your soul to line up with truth. So that means you don't live on Twinkies. Hello, unless you want to be preserved forever. Remember, what you eat is what you become. So what you speak is what you eat. And what you eat is what you become. Listen, if the devil can't kill you with sin, he'll kill you with food. Why? Because one of the things that cause your soul to line up with truth according to the Word of God is discipline. Without discipline, you can do nothing. So we must be disciplined in what we speak, we must be disciplined in what we see, we must be disciplined in what we hear, and we must be disciplined in what we put in our mouth. Amen? And especially what comes out of our mouth. So in this, it's very important about our soul. One of the things that happens is we are a triune being. We are of a spirit, a soul, and flesh. Now, your spirit speaks to God, and you don't even realize it. But your spirit is always in communion with God. Why? Because God is spirit. Now your soul interprets what God is saying through your spirit. If your soul is not in line, you will not understand what God is saying. You will not be able to interpret it because he speaks another language. You will realize after a period of time, after being associated with this house, that you begin to go out into the world and begin to say things that your language is different than theirs. Because we speak another language now. Now, same thing with the tabernacle. The tabernacle has three chambers in it. The outer court, the holy place, the most holy place. Each chamber has a function, a special presence or anointing, and each chamber has a language. And one of the things God wants to do is bring us all the way to the most holy place where we speak that language and we're able to interpret what God is saying. So if your soul is not renewed, prospered, set up according to the will of God, and if you're not putting it into practice, if you're not using it, then you'll be easily misled. one of the things that I've come to realize that there are enemies of the soul. There are enemies of the soul. Why? Because the enemies of the soul do not want your soul to prosper. And when you begin to prosper, it tries to interfere with your prospering. Why? Because if you prosper, you will prosper spiritually, physically, financially. You'll get more wisdom. All kinds of different things will begin to happen in your life. You'll be able to see things differently. You won't rely on the things of the world. You'll see through the world. It's totally different walking in the Spirit. Is everybody okay? Do you want to know the enemies of our soul? There are three major enemies. The first enemy is called the world. But I live in the world, right? And that's your enemy. Ephesians chapter 2. Oh, yes. Three enemies of our soul is the world, the flesh, and the devil. Don't look at your neighbor. Your enemy is not your boss, your spouse, or your pastor, or your house manager, or your landlord. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, would you read it with me? And you he what? He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of what? Disobedience. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with us, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you've been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness. And his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That we should what? Walk in them. Amen. So we see here that one of our enemies is the world. How many of y'all know TV can be your enemy? Music can be your enemy. Movies can be your enemy. Education can be your enemy. Even knowledge can be your enemy, depending on what kind of knowledge it is, isn't it? Why? Because worldly knowledge puffs you up. Knowledge from God ought to bring you humility. In Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Is everybody there? In verse 1, it says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Gergesites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, I like the Perizzites, but anyways, and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than your. Why? Because these were giants. These were nations of giants. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly what? Destroy them. Why? Because they did not carry the true DNA. You shall make no covenant with them, nor shall you show mercy to them, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. Does everybody understand this? These were offsprings, the Nephilims. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their what? Altars, and break down their sacred pillars, and cut down their wooden images, and burn their carved images with fire. For you are what? A holy people to the Lord your God. Do you know he's speaking to you and me? The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were least of all the peoples. But because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers. The Lord has brought you out of the mighty hand, with a mighty hand, and redeemed you from the house of what? Bondage, which is known as the world. The world is known as the house of bondage. It is also known as Egypt. He said, from the hand of the king of what? Egypt, Pharaoh. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who what? Love him and keep his commandments. And he repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which I command you today to observe them. Again, Egypt is known as the world. It's known as the house because Egypt ruled the world at one time, just like Babylon. And in this, the world is known as the house of bondage. The whole world is called the house of bondage. So one of your enemies is the world. Does everybody understand that? Why? Because it wants to put you in bondage. So everything that you see associated with the world, we call the matrix. Does everybody understand that? It's the world. It's the carnal realm. We actually live in the matrix. But we're not of the matrix. Does everybody get it? So that's all it wants to do is constantly keep you in mazes and keep you in bondage so you cannot find your way out. It tries to bring distractions. It tries to keep you bound so you never find out who you are. Because everyone walks in this world saying, who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? Or where am I from? Because God sent us here, what? To fulfill a mission. Amen? In 1 John chapter 2. So the world, what we live in, we also call self, the kingdom of self. Does everybody understand that? But what actually rules the world, you can't see. Even though we live in the matrix, but you can't really see it. Does everybody get it? Most people just think, well, I'm just going to live. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to make a life for myself because it's all about self. But that's where the enemy wants to keep you. Wants to keep you in that arena so you never can progress. He doesn't want your soul to be renewed. Why? Because as your soul becomes renewed, you become to see more and more of who he is and who you are. In 1 John chapter 2, is everybody there? In verse 15, 1 John chapter 2, we're still in the world, but not too much longer. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Let's read it together. What does it say? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is what? Not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is what? It's of the world. Now look at the next verse. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God, what? Abides forever. For only he who does the will of God abides forever. But the world is trying to prevent you from doing the will of God. The world tries to promote you to do the will of the world, which is ruled by Satan's kingdom. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. It's all about self in the world. In James chapter 4. James 4:4. Would you read it with me? Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Again, grace is God's plan to escape the deception of the devil and the wrath of God. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. But there's got to be a submission to God. Listen, if there's not a submission to the Lord, you won't discern what the enemy is doing. Listen, this is all a part of God's training us. That's why it says submit to God. That's why the word says, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. But so many people seek his hand and not his face. They're not really trying to learn or exchange the character their character for his character. And then when God gives you something and you don't take it seriously, that's one of the things that offend God, not taking something he gives you seriously, just nonchalantly. When God gives you something, let me tell you something, that ought to be precious to you. And you make sure you take care of it and fulfill what he's asked you to do. Why? Because if he won't ask you to do another thing, but the familiar spirits will. And they're the ones that will mislead you. In Galatians chapter 5. See, when you begin to act like the world, you become an enemy of God. So what are the three enemies of your soul? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Galatians chapter 5. In verse 19. Is everybody there? Now the works of the flesh are what? Evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, which is associated with drugs, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and alike. In other words, there's other things involved too. This is just similar. Has everybody got it? These are some of them, but there's more. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who what? Practice such things will not what? They won't inherit the kingdom of God. These things are preventing your soul from prospering. The world is preventing, association with the world prevents your soul from prospering. Association and with the flesh prevents your soul from prospering. They are enemies to your soul. Works of the flesh, these are emotional passions of self. Selfish ambitions. Romans chapter 8. People don't realize that your soul is a corridor to your spirit. And once your spirit gets contaminated, so is your heart. And when that begins to happen, there is the beginning process of perishing. In Romans chapter 8, is everyone there? In verse 5, what does it say? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Or, in other words, if you are in fellowship with the Spirit of God. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of what? Right. So there must be a fruit of righteousness. Does everybody understand that? When there is a fruit of righteousness, that's a sign of the soul prospering. When there isn't a fruit of righteousness, the soul is not prospering. In verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are what? Debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will what? Die. Why? Because if you're living according to the flesh, there's access to your spirit. If your spirit is contaminated, perishing begins. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will what? Live. Look at 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? Sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to what? Fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, in whom we cry out, Abba, Father, which means daddy. So there means relationship. Romans 13. And verse 11. Romans 13, verse 11. Is everybody there? Let's speak it, please. And do this, knowing the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep. How many of y'all know the enemy wants to put you to sleep? He wants you to become compromised, complacent, and lazy. As soon as you agree with it, you have opened your soul to him. Why? Because you're agreeing with it. Then what happens? You begin to do it. Then you're not on. One of the things you'll find out is not only in the area of you won't see the fruit of righteousness, you'll lose the fruit that you're on fire. You'll become lukewarm. That's what compromise is. That's what complacent is, lukewarmness. You'll look for every excuse to miss God's presence, fellowship. You'll make every kind of excuse. The enemy will come with every excuse possible. Your flesh is always... Listen, your flesh hates God's presence. Why? Because your flesh is associated with your old man. And it was yourself, the old man, is associated with the flesh now. And that means that this was born, you and I were born in the image and likeness of Satan. That's why we must be born again in the image and likeness of God. Why? Because your old man, self, hates God's presence. It is rebellious. It is non-submissive. It has a carnal mind that can never be turned around. Only the mind of Christ can turn around the new mind. That's why you must get a new spirit. Somebody with me? So when you get a new spirit, you get a new mind. Now you must feed the new. And if you don't feed the new and starve the old is going to take over the new. And the next thing you know, you'll be just like the world again. You'll be in the flesh. You'll start compromising again. Why? Because you're starving the new. People don't realize that Jesus said something very powerful. He said, if you truly want eternal life, you must eat my flesh. Eating the flesh is the word of God. And he said, you must drink my blood. That's worship of the Spirit. That's where you drink. There isn't anything stronger and greater than corporate worship. But that's one of the things the enemy wants to keep people away from. And he does a very good job. Individuals in that arena, you must be careful because you can't trust them. Because they're led by their emotions and their soul. Does everybody get this? Their soul is not prospering, is it? Their soul might have started prospering, then all of a sudden it started depleting, didn't it? And it begins to deplete more and more and more. It's not prospering anymore. It's fading away because now the spirit's been contaminated because the enemy's gotten access through the soul to the spirit. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. In verse 12. Did we finish this? Yeah. Let's start at 11 again. And do this knowing the high time is that now is the high time to awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of what? Darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and do what? Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So how do you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? You eat his flesh and you what? Drink his blood. Does everybody get that? That's how we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the less you do that, the less you put on him. And the less that you put him on, the stronger your old man gets and the weaker your new man gets. And then the next thing you know, you're struggling. And you don't even realize why you're struggling. You didn't even realize you compromised. That's all you have a desire is to do what you want to do because your discipline has now slowly diminished. Now you're being led how you feel, what you think, instead of what truth is. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians 4. Enemy of our soul, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Three major enemies. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in futility of their mind, having their understanding what? Darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But he says, look at this. He says, you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you what? Put off concerning your former conduct. If your former conduct is beginning to take over again, something's wrong. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And to be renewed in the spirit of your, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's your new spirit. And that you put on the what? The new man who was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. True righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the what? Nor give place to the what? The devil. There's a difference between react and respond. When you react, you're reacting according to your old man. When you respond according to the new man. 1 Peter chapter 5. Hallelujah. And verse 5. Likewise, you younger people. This has got nothing to do with age. These are the less mature. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. And be clothed with what? Humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may what? Exalt you in due time. Let me tell you, when your soul is in divine order, humbleness is a joy. It's joyful. You desire to be obedient. Again, when your soul is in divine order, you look for conviction. You do not avoid it. Does everybody get it? Why? Because you want to keep yourself unspotted. So you look for conviction. Why? Because you're looking for conviction so that a spot can be exposed. Amen? Then you use that stain remover called the blood of Jesus. Works very well. Therefore, humble yourselves under mighty hand in God, that he will exalt you in due time, casting your what? Your care upon him, for he what? Cares for you. Be what? Sober. That means what? Alert. Be alert. Be diligent. That means consistent. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a what? Roaring lion, seeking whom is out of position. He's looking for that one sheep that leaves the flock. When a flock comes together, he's looking for that one that's out, because he knows he can get that one. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour, compromise, complacent, become lazy, lukewarm. It says resist him. Listen, if you're not submitting to God, can you resist the devil? No, that's how people continue to go backwards and not forward. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So you're not the only one being tempted that way. Everyone is. Amen? Everyone is. Listen, every one of us gets tempted the same way. Does everybody get that? We're all tempted the same way. There is no difference. Your temptations are no different than my temptations. Everyone's temptations is the same, just at a different time. So we have no excuse, do we? There is no excuse. Oh, hallelujah. The devil. Revelation 12. Revelation 12 and verse 7. What does it say? And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil, and Satan, who what? Who what? Deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Hello. So who's the ruler of the world? Satan and his kingdom, his angels and demons. Does everybody get it? The unseen realm that controls the seen realm. In Genesis chapter 3, the devil is a shapeshifter. He can come in many forms. He comes as an angel of light. He can come as a righteous minister. He comes as a serpent. Hallelujah, I won't go any further than that. Glory to God. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Now the serpent was what? More cunning than what? Any beast of the field which the Lord God made. Do you understand that he can outwit you in a second? Listen, if your soul is not in divine order, he'll deceive you so quickly you don't even know you're being deceived. He'll have you eating out of his hand and you won't even know it. Usually till it's, I don't want to say too late, because it's never too late, you know what I'm saying? But to where you know you're far enough away. It's like, oh man, how did I do this and how did I get here again? I can't believe it. I can't believe I did this all over again. See, one of the things that when a soul is in divine order, one of the things that are not only expressed in the area of the fruit of righteousness and we're because we want to be clean, we want to stay clean, because once you've been clean, man, you want to stay clean. And we're looking for conviction, you know. But there's something that's there, prevalent, tangible to you. It's called the fear of the Lord. It's tangible to you. It's a reverence to him. Man, you know he's right there all the time. Everything you do, no matter where you are, even when you're in the flesh, even when you drop a hammer on your foot, oh, snap, you know, where the hood of the car falls on your hand. You want to say all kinds of stuff because you want to react, you know. But anyways. So instead you kick the car. But you're right there with the Lord. And it's like, oh, Lord, you know what an idiot I am sometimes. But there's a communication constantly. Constantly. What's that maintaining? You're maintaining the reverence, the fear of God. When your soul is in divine order, that fear of the Lord. And it's not a fear of Him going to send you to hell. It's a reverence. It's a respect. It's an honor of who He is. He's your dad. Amen? So the serpent is wise. And he says to the woman, he what? He spoke to the woman. How many of y'all know the serpent still speaks? He's not silent. I'm going to tell you that. And what does he say? He said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? Of every tree of the garden? Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Now the serpent was more cunning than the beast. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. Now listen, he's wise. What did he do? He put a question in her, didn't he? What's he trying to do? Bring reason. Behind that is doubt. But the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, we shall not eat, nor shall we touch it. That means touch and agree with it, lest we die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. God's a liar. Hello? That's exactly what he said. He's holding something back from you. You know how many people fall into that trap? That they're going to miss something? Listen, if it's God, you won't miss it. Unless you're so out of order that you miss it. Amen? So the serpent does speak in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse 1. It says, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betroth you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your what? Your minds, your thoughts, may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. See, he wants to make things more difficult, confusing than what it really is. It is a very simple process walking with the Lord. It's a trust factor. Listen, you don't have to understand everything. You just have to trust Him all the way through. Amen? In Psalm 106. But if you don't learn, what happens? You get burned, man. He'll burn you in a second if you give Him the opportunity. Psalm 106:34. It says, they did not destroy the peoples. Those were what we were just talking about because they were disobedient. Concerning whom the Lord had commanded them. But they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to what? Demons. What do you think abortion is? Same thing. And shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were defiled by their own works and played the harlot by their own deeds. Therefore, the wrath of God was kindled against his people, so that he abhorred his own inheritance. And he gave them into the hand of the Gentiles, and those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times he delivered them, but they rebelled in their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. They sacrificed their children to demons. In James chapter 1. This is what the devil does, doesn't he? He is the deceiver of deceivers. He's the originator of deception. James chapter 1 verse 12. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Blessed is the man who what? Endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own what? Desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, because they've agreed with it, it gives birth to sin. the presence of evil. They've opened the door to the enemy. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth what? Brings forth death. So that we are in need of endurance, aren't we? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. Three enemies of the soul, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Why? Because the soul is the gateway to your spirit. That's how he gets to your spirit to contaminate it. Your heart is the character of your spirit. So when your heart is hardened, it's because your spirit's contaminated. Hebrews 10, 26, let's read it. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. In other words, you ain't covered no more, right? But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with suffering, partly while you were made a spectacle both by the reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you have compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of what? Endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 21, is everybody there? Let's speak it. Therefore, if anyone what? Cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call out on the Lord with a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. And I'm going to close at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. What are the three enemies of your soul? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 14, is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Do not be what? Unevenly yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship is righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion is light with darkness? And what accord is Christ with Belial? What part is a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement is the temple of God with what? Idols. For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I'll be their God. And they shall be my people if they'll do something. What will they have to do? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And don't touch what is unclean. And I will receive you. I'll be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Keep going. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's when the soul is in divine order. Does everybody get it? Remember, the enemy wants to contaminate your spirit, but he has to go through your soul. He'll use you to contaminate it, won't he? Why? He's got to get you to agree with him in one way or another. That's what he has to do. Nothing has changed to that. We are tempted in every area so that he can get us to agree with him. When we agree with him, we open it up. That's what opens doors to people's lives, agreeing with him, either through thought, through emotion, whatever it is. Well, look at the oppression. Look at how people don't realize that oppression is actually fear. It's fear. And the spirit loves to bring, the demonic spirits love to bring oppression on people because they know it opens the door. You know, we have the wisdom from above. We are more than conquerors. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And we can do all things through the anointing that Christ has given me and you. The whole thing is constantly feeding your spirit with the word and with the spirit. Keep drinking. Keep drinking. Keep going to Joel's place. Amen? Praise God. We don't drink of the world. We drink of the spirit now. We stay strong in the Lord and the power of his might and not our own. And when you find yourself beginning to struggle because you're doing it in your own strength, stop. Step back. Just stop. Step back and invite the Spirit to take over. Why? Because you've walked away. Amen? Unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. We have to constantly allow him to build a house. We have a tendency to want to build, don't we? We want to do it our way. But it's not our way. It's Yahweh. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And Lord, we just ask that you'll give us the discernment and sensitivity and recognize when our soul is being penetrated to try and cause us contamination. So Lord, keep us alert. Keep us consistent. Kick us in the butt when we need to, Lord. Don't let us get lukewarm. Help us and bless us all tonight, Lord. Protect this seed that's been imparted that we may see, that we may hear, and that we may follow and give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.